Well, hello there. Welcome back. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 323. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host, and I'm so glad we get to spend some time together today. This is a Monday through Friday podcast, and while we're in the midst of the challenge known as the Dog Days of Podcasting, which I'll refer to from now on as the DDP, I'm going to be doing some special shows on Saturdays and Sundays. DDP will go until September 4th, and I'd love to have your input for some of those weekend shows. I'd like you to send me a question or two that you'd like me to answer. It could be anything about the Bible, Christian doctrine, or pretty much anything else. Think of a question or two and email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. For the new listeners, on this show, we're reading through the Bible on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament, track two is reading through the New Testament, and the third is reading through the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Today we're on track two, which brings us back to the book of 2 Samuel, and we'll read chapters 3 and 4. We're reading this week from the New American Standard Bible. Let's begin. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, and David grew steadily stronger, but the house of Saul grew weaker continually. Sons were born to David at Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second, Kileab, by Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom the son of Micaiah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Adonijah the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatiah the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife Eglah. These were born to David at Hebron. It came about while there was a war between the house of Saul and the house of David that Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ish-bosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone in to my father's concubine?" Then Abner was very angry over the words of Ish-bosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show kindness to the house of Saul your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hands of David. And yet today you charge me with a guilt concerning the woman. May God do so to Abner, and more also, if, as the Lord has sworn to David, I do not accomplish this for him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could no longer answer Abner a word, because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers to David in his place, saying, "Whose is the land? Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel over to you." He said, "Good, I will make a covenant with you, but I demand one thing of you, namely, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see me." So David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, to whom I was betrothed, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel the son of Laish. But her husband went with her, weeping as he went, and followed her as far as Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, "Go, return." So he returned. Now Abner had consultation with the elders of Israel, saying, "In times past you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.'" Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin, and in addition, Abner went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and to the whole house of Benjamin. Then Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Abner said to David, "Let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may be king over all that your soul desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him arrived, they told Joab, saying, "Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace." Then Joab came to the king and said, What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why then have you sent him away, and he is already gone? You know Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you and to learn of your going out and coming in and to find out all that you're doing. When Joab came out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David did not know it. So when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the middle of the gate to speak with him privately, and there he struck him in the belly so that he died on account of the blood of Azahel, his brother. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are innocent before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. May it fall on the head of Joab and on all of his father's house, and may there not fail from the house of Joab one who has a discharge, or who is a leper, or who takes hold of a distaff, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai his brother killed Abner, because he had put their brother Azahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, Tear your clothes and gird on sackcloth and lament before Abner. And King David walked behind the bier. Thus they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. The king chanted a lament for Abner and said, Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen. And all the people wept again over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was still day. But David vowed, saying, May God do so to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything else before the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, just as everything the king did pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the will of the king to put Abner the son of Ner to death. Then the king said to his servants, Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? I am weak today, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too difficult for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil. 2 Samuel chapter 4. Now when Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost courage, and all Israel was disturbed. Saul's son had two men who were commanders of bands. The name of the one was Baanah, and the name of the other was Rechab, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, of the sons of Benjamin, for Beeroth is also considered part of Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gibeon, and have been aliens there until this day. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, Rechab and Baanah, departed and came to the house of Ish-bosheth in the heat of the day while he was taking his midday rest. They came to the middle of the house as if to get wheat, and they struck him in the belly, and Rechab and Baanah his brother escaped. Now when they came into the house as he was lying on his bed in his bedroom, they struck him and killed him and beheaded him, and they took his head and traveled by way of the Arabah all night. Then they brought the head of Ish-bosheth to David at Hebron and said to the king, Behold the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. Thus the Lord has given my lord the king vengeance this day on Saul and his descendants. David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brother, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said to them, As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, when one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, and thought he was bringing me good news, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house on his bed, shall I not now require his blood from your hand and destroy you from the earth? Then David commanded the young men, and they killed them and cut off their hands and feet and hung them up beside the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the grave of Abner in Hebron. May God bless the reading of His Word. In chapter 3, Ish-bosheth, the king, made a bad mistake. He forgot who really put him in the throne. It was Abner who made it possible for Ish-bosheth, King Saul's son, to ascend to the throne, and it was Abner's cunning and strength as a leader who put him there. Ish-bosheth was not a leader, and he severely misjudged the consequences of accusing Abner of sleeping with Saul's concubine. Abner's response was basically, "How dare you accuse me of this? I served your father well. I kept you from defeat at David's hands. I put you on the throne, and now I'm going to take you out of it. I will make sure that David becomes king of all Israel." Ish-bosheth was gobsmacked. He couldn't say a thing. He knew that he was powerless against Abner. And Abner went to David and proposed to ally himself with David, which David agreed to. Well, when Joab, the general of David's army, heard about the agreement, he was not happy and said as much to David. He rightfully didn't trust Abner and thought Abner had come to David as a spy, and he took it upon himself to murder Abner. David, being an honorable man, mourned for Abner and gave him a proper and honorable burial. In chapter 4, when Ish-bosheth heard about Abner's murder, things really began to fall apart quickly for him. He loses any semblance of control, and two of his military leaders murder him and then make the same mistake made by the man who murdered his father, Saul. These two thought that they were doing David and themselves a favor by killing one of David's enemies. They figured they'd ingratiate themselves to David by doing this deed, but their fate was the same as Saul's murderer. David had them killed and then hung by the pool in Hebron. There is a difference between killing in war and murder. Many people think that one of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not kill," and it does say that in the King James Version. But when you look at the original language, the Hebrew, the word used is better translated, "murder." "You shall not murder" is the commandment. David knew this, and he didn't want anyone to help him to the throne through murder. Be sure that if you think that you're on a mission from God, that you are not doing anything against God's word. He is a righteous and holy God, and he will accomplish his will only in the bounds of what he has told us in his word is right and good. He will never ask anyone to break his own law. David made an example of those who crossed that line because he wanted everyone to know that his kingdom would be a godly kingdom. I'd love to hear your comments. If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 323.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at _SteveWeb_#LifespringMedia, and there are two B's in web. Also, remember to send me a question or two that you'd like me to answer during one of the weekend DDP shows. It could be a question about the Bible or Christian doctrine or whatever you're curious about. I'll do my best to answer. And if I use your question on any one of the shows, I will send you a free copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. That's a $20 value. So be sure you send your question in right away. That's steve@lifespringmedia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. Tomorrow we're on track 2, which takes us back to the New Testament. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.